Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 138 of the Veg Grower Podcast. I'm Richard, and today is the 16th of October, 2017. And in this episode, I shall be talking about the latest that's been going on the plots in the diary section. I shall then be discussing what has piqued my interest in the 2018 Sutton Seed Catalogues. But before I start, I just want to hope that everyone is safe this evening with the storm coming in. I know it's going to affect Ireland and the UK. Northern Ireland, Scotland and Ireland are probably going to be the worst hit. But the rest of the UK, I will suffer from strong winds. And I just hope that everyone out there is safe and sees it through. I know there's been, at the time of recording, there's been three people that have died from it, and my heart goes out to those and their families. I still find it remarkable that it's exactly 30 years since the great storm of 87. I was a 5 at the time, and I remember our road being blocked off by a huge oak tree that got blown over. And the way our street worked was that everyone got involved. They got out there with chainsaws and cut this oak down and to open the road up. No one got hurt on our road, thankfully. We saw ourselves out. But I just hope everyone out there is safe. So anyway, enough of that. Let's get on with the diary. Now, during the week, I did pop down to the allotment one evening. This was my main objective here, was just to drop off some manure. However, I noticed that the water butt that last week I filled with water and the comfrey, to make comfrey feed, well, it was obviously had a leak in this water butt as it had lost pretty much all its water. So I had another water butt that I knew had a leak, so I quickly patched that leak in that one up. Put the comfrey into that, moved the water, the remaining water, and filled it up with a bit more. I then investigated the original water butt to find out where the water had leaked from, and I found a tiny crack in the plastic near the area of the tap. And I find this quite often on plastic water butts. They seem to leak from the kind of edge of the tap area. It seems to crack down the line where it's kind of folded. Anyway, I patched this leak up with some sealant, and I'm just leaving it to basically set, and we'll see how it goes and in the future. Saturday morning, I popped down the allotment to get some food for our dinner, and I actually harvested some Arran Pilot potatoes, and these have actually done a lot better compared to the previous potatoes that I've harvested. I did notice that one bag of these Arab pilots have started to grow again, which is great because that was a bag I'm saving for seeds for next year. So that'll grow again, hopefully put on some more, and that should see me through the winter. I also harvested some carrots, beetroots, a cabbage, some Brussels sprouts and a few leeks. And all of these I actually had some pretty good harvests from, so I'm quite pleased with that all in all. I went home and started making some apple chutney from some windfall apples I'd been given. I make this every year, and it's a great recipe that I have on the blog post, and I will add a link to it on the blog. Now at home, last week's episode, I forgot to mention I'd sown two types of peas to overwinter. I mentioned I set them up the day before, but on some last Sunday I did actually sow two types of peas. These were Early Onward and Meteor. Well, I checked on these on Saturday and they had just started to sprout, so I've moved them to the greenhouse and will continue to look after them until they're ready to plant out, keeping them well watered and what have you. Then Sunday morning I headed to the allotment and I planned to spend a few hours down there. Firstly, I fired up the barbecue so I could cook up a shoulder of pork, because I wanted to make some pulled pork for lunch there and for lunch during the week. With the barbecue on the go, I turned my attention to the bed that will be growing shallots over this next year. Now, this bed has been filled with manure, which is what I'd done the other day. Except for a small area where there's a courgette plant that's still growing. The bed now is full of manure, except for that area, the courgette plant. And I've tamped down the manure. I then painted all the woodwork in preservative to make it last a little longer. And this bed is now ready for planting, with the exception of the courgette plant. Now, I was going to rip out this courgette plant, but I noticed this weekend it had flowered. There was two flowers on it. So I just thought I'd leave it and see if anything will come of it. I very much doubt it will, but I just thought it was interesting. And I've said that October's been pretty warm, and I think this just shows how warm it is. With that bed out of the way, I noted that my garlic that was planted 2 weeks ago has all germinated, and it looks like 100% germination, except for the elephant garlic. But the elephant garlic is always a lot later than the rest, so I'm not worried about that. We'll just leave that to go. I then planted out my onion sets, and I've planted three varieties this year. All three varieties have fitted into the one bed, so I'm pleased with that. And there's about 50 sets from each variety, so this should give me about 150 onions, if they all make it. The three varieties I've sown were Japanese onion and red, and these were both from Wilkinson's. I then had a variety called Troy, which is meant to be resistant to bolting. So I'm going to carry out this experiment over this next year and see how they get on. They've all been planted in the same bed in exactly the same way. I've planted them about 4 inches apart. The instructions say 6, but I do 4. And we'll see how they get on. And all I do when I'm planting onions is I dip a hole with my dibber and pop a set into it and then give it a good watering. That's all I do. It's worked for me for many years, and that's it really. After that, I started building a border for the top of the bed that will be on a newer half of the allotment. Now, I need really kind of start naming these beds in a way to make it easier for you to describe. I'm going to have to think on that, on how to approach this. But anyway, all I'm doing here is using the pallet wood that I have cut to size and treated with wood preservative to make an edge, like I've done all over the allotment with all the other beds. And this will just define the edge of a bed and hold all the manure that will be, or the compost of manure, that will be going into there in place. To make my life easy, I decided what I would do is stake each corner of this bed. Now, this is a big bed. It's taken up most of this plot. So I've staked each corner, and then I've ran string from each stake, making the square shape out of string. This was to give myself a straight line and a guide to try and get it as level as I could. I don't want it to be perfect because it is made out of pallets, and if they look too perfect, I just think they look wrong. So I like a bit of wonkiness. Also, I don't like to spend ages on saying I want to grow food, not make it look pretty. Anyway, this basically running a string round did actually make my life a lot easier. It gave me a decent guide to work from. Now, with these jobs out the way, it was time to head home and time for dinner. And for dinner, we were having the pumpkin, bacon and leek risotto I mentioned last week, which meant it was time to tackle the pumpkin. And I kind of left it this last week on the side, just admiring it and showing it off, as you do. But it was grown for food, and it was time to cut it open and use it. So we cut it open, we scooped out the seeds and peeled off the skin. And this took an hour. And I have a huge blister on my finger from using a knife. We persevered anyway, and we got plenty of edible flesh out of it. We've made some into soup, and we used some in risotto. And this risotto was delicious. I highly recommend it. We also have a lot more in bags in the freezer that we will be using throughout the year for other things. Then today, before coming on air, I did just walk around the garden and make sure everything was secure and safe ahead of these strong winds that are coming in. And no doubt some of you can probably hear it in the background. I also popped into my potting shed and quickly sown some broad beans just for overwintering and an extra early crop for next year. Okay, so that is the diary section taken care of. There's quite a bit going on still. So next item on the agenda is what has piqued my interest in the Saturn seed catalogue for this next year. I've decided to only talk about the Saturn seed catalogue this year because it's online, so anyone listening can take a look. And I actually really highly rate Saturn seeds. It's why they are a affiliate. But there are many other seed companies out there, and some in the future I'm hoping to try and get some deals with seeds from other suppliers for you listeners. So please do shop around. Please support your local ones. Let's flick through the Saturn seed catalogues. Now, as I said, this is available online. I'll add a link to that in the blog post. And something I actually spotted in the first couple of pages was seed tins. And what they're 12 different vegetable tins. And in each tin, there's 3 different varieties of seeds for each vegetable. And the idea here is it tries encouraging successional growing. So if you have a tin of carrots, for example, you would get a variety of carrots to sow early, another variety to sow mid-season, and another variety to sow late season. Now, I really liked the idea of this and the simplicity. Is it kind of a foolproof way to successionally sow seeds and gives you an attempt or a good try at year-round food. Another thing that's piqued my interest is a seed called cornicon, and this is a pickling cucumber or gherkin, and these look to be pretty small even for gherkins, and I'd quite like growing gherkins each year, but I normally do sliced ones. These are, they're tiny. I'm going to give these a try next year, I think, as I just like the look and the sound of this. Into the herb section, and I immediately spotted some Korean mint, which sounded really interesting until I read the description. And it describes it as having an aniseed flavour, which is good for teas and things. Well, because it's got aniseed flavour, I can't touch it. I don't like aniseed. So it piqued my interest and then it's gone again. In the leeks, there was a new variety called Chef's White. This variety is claimed to have a large amount of white stem to cook with. It's meant to be pretty easy to grow. And so it's kind of piqued my interest again to grow next year. I do find leeks pretty easy, but if I can make it even easier, it's a winner in my book as well. So I think I'll try these next year as well. I came to the melons, and they had 2 different varieties. But what I kind of really interested in was a variety called F1 Lavigel, which is an early fruiting variety. And I thought if I can get that and it fruits early, I can grow that in my greenhouse quite happily and try and get some fruit earlier on in the season. When I came across the onion section, something I've already planned on doing was some spring planted onion sets that I wanted to be heat treated to stop bolting. This is to try and see how they compare to autumn sown ones. Well, I have two varieties that exactly hit that on the head, fit that description exactly. And these are priced currently, you can buy both sets for £7, which I'm quite happy to pay. When I looked for heat treated previously, they were a bit too expensive for postage and packaging. But £7 for the two with everything else, I'm pretty happy with that. So I'll be ordering those sets and we'll see how they get on next year. Into the tomatoes, of course, they had the Crimson Crush, which I've been growing for years now. I've saved seed this year, but they are an F1 hybrid, so the saved seed may not come true. It's kind of an experiment. They also have a tumbling variety that is blight tolerant called Tumbling Bella. Now, based on how I find Crimson Crush to be so good, I'm kind of interested in these Tumbling Bellas as well. Sutton say they're blight tolerant, so they're not going to be resistant, not like the Crimson Crush. But again, I trust Sutton Seeds with their what they've said about Crimson Crush, so they've piqued my interest. Then towards the back of this catalogue, James Wong has a 2-page spread which is about his How to Eat Better range. Well, he's partnered with the University of Exeter and he have a few varieties that taste good but also have high vitamins and minerals, which is meant to be healthier for us all to eat. And that kind of piqued my interest. I kind of read through it, but I don't think I'd be buying any because I grow my own anyway and I think that's a healthier way to go anyway. But I like it and it sounded interesting. Okay, so now I'll be adding a link to this catalogue if you want to take a peek yourself. It's all online, which is why I chose it. It makes life easier if it's online. Looking at the time, it's probably a good job I only done Sutton's, otherwise we'll be here for a while just talking about different seeds that have piqued my interest. But it's well worth shopping around and trying different seed companies. But as I said, I'll add the link to this one in the blog notes. And if you listen on iTunes, Apple have recently improved the app. And now you can visit the blog page straight from the app. And I think this is a really cool feature to add to the podcast. It makes life a lot easier to access podcast blog pages in general, so please check it out. Of course, if you're listening through other podcast directories, it's always easy to visit us by going to the blog's site. That's the veggrowpodcast.co.uk. And with that, I'm going to wrap up for this week, so please take care. And I really do hope everyone survives this storm. And I shall speak to you all again next time.